The light had been dim in the room, and when the shutters were opened, it was bright sunlight, and I looked out on a balcony, and beyond were the tile roofs of houses and chimneys. I looked out over the tile roofs and saw white clouds and the sky very blue. "Don't you know when the other nurses are coming? Why, don't we take good care of you? You're very nice. Would you like to use the bedpan? I might try." They helped me and held me up, but it was not any use. Afterward, I lay and looked out the open doors onto the balcony. "When does the doctor come?" "When he gets back. We've tried to telephone to Lake Como for him."
"Aren't there any other doctors?"
"He's the doctor for the hospital." Miss Gage brought a pitcher of water and a glass. I drank three glasses, and then they left me, and I looked out the window a while and went back to sleep. I ate some lunch, and in the afternoon, Miss Van Kampen, the superintendent, came up to see me. She did not like me, and I did not like her. She was small and neatly suspicious and too good for her position. She asked many questions and seemed to think it was somewhat disgraceful that I was with the Italians.
"Can I have wine with the meals?" I asked her.
"Only if the doctor prescribes it."
"I can't have it until he comes?"
"Absolutely not."
"You plan on having him come eventually?"
"We've telephoned him at Lake Como."
She went out, and Miss Gage came back.
"Why were you rude to Miss Van Kampen?" she asked after she had done something for me very skillfully.
"I didn't mean to be, but she was snooty."
"She said you were domineering and rude."
"I wasn't, but what's the idea of a hospital without a doctor?"
"He's coming. They've telephoned for him to Lake Como."
"What does he do there, swim?"
"No, he has a clinic there."
"Why don't they get another doctor?"
"Hush, hush, be a good boy and he'll come."
I sent for the porter, and when he came I told him in Italian to get me a bottle of Cinzano at the wine shop, a fiasco of Chianti, and the evening papers. He went away and brought them wrapped in newspaper, unwrapped them, and then, when I asked him to, drew the corks and put the wine and vermouth under the bed. They left me alone, and I lay in bed and read the papers a while, the news from the front, and a list of dead officers with their decorations, and then reached down and brought up the bottle of Cinzano and held it straight up on my stomach, the cool glass against my stomach, and took little drinks, making rings on my stomach from holding the bottle there between drinks, and watched it get dark outside over the roofs of the town. The swallows circled round, and I watched them and the nighthawks flying above the roofs and drank the Cinzano. Miss Gage brought up a glass with some eggnog in it. I lowered the vermouth bottle to the other side of the bed when she came in. "Miss Van Kampen had some sherry put in this," she said. "You shouldn't be rude to her. She's not young, and this hospital is a big responsibility for her. Mrs. Walker's too old, and she's no use to her."
"She's a splendid woman," I said. "Thank her very much."
"I'm going to bring you your supper right away."
"That's all right," I said. "I'm not hungry." When she brought the tray and put it on the bed table, I thanked her and ate a little of the supper. Afterward, it was dark outside, and I could see the beams of the searchlights moving in the sky. I watched for a while, and then went to sleep. I slept heavily, except once I woke sweating and scared, and then went back to sleep trying to stay outside of my dream. I woke for good long before it was light and heard roosters crowing and stayed on awake until it began to be light. I was tired, and once it was really light, I went back to sleep again.